And now I'm going to get the attention of just about every teen within hearing distance. Watch this. Author John Green is here. Okay, now we got them. For everyone else, The New Yorker called John Green the teen whisperer because of books like Looking for Alaska, An Abundance of Catherines, and of course, The Fault in Our Stars, which became the hit 2014 film about a young girl dying of cancer. John and his brother Hank have wildly popular YouTube channels and legions of fans who call themselves nerd fighters. Don't forget to be awesome. And now they are eagerly awaiting the new limited Hulu series version of John's 2005 book, Looking for Alaska. So enter Josh Schwartz with his partner Stephanie Savage. They have created programs that are in the rock firmament for teens. They include The OC and Gossip Girl. And he and Stephanie have brought John's book to the screen. It premieres tomorrow on Hulu. Here's advance notice. It is great. And both John and Josh join us from NPR West. John Green, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Hi. Nice to speak with you again. And co-executive producer, showrunner Josh Schwartz, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much.
John Green, I have to start with you. First of all, how do you feel about the Hulu version?
Oh, so thrilled. It's just such a moving expansion of the story. I could never have imagined back when I published the book in 2005 that one day there would even be such a thing as a Hulu limited series, let alone that one so wonderful would be devoted to that little story.
Well, let's bring people in. It's a story of Miles Halter, an awkward teen who moves from his home in Florida to a boarding school in Alabama, where there will be a terrible car crash. We see that right at the start. Josh Schwartz, Vulture's rave review says your show expands on the other characters, and they also note the unmistakable, nostalgic Stephanie Savage Josh Schwartziness of it. What does that mean to you?
I don't know. I've always wanted to be a Ness, so I feel like that's a win in some way. I mean, you know, I was fortunate enough to get a copy of John's book. I believe when it was unpublished, I got it in galley form. It was his first book, so I had not yet heard of him and fell in love with the book right away and with those characters. And it's been a 14-year labor of love to try to get the movie made initially and then eventually migrating it to being a limited series at Hulu. When I first got the book, we were in the middle of The OC and wanted to set the book in 2005, which is the year it was published. And so I think it just links it inextricably to that time when we were making The OC as well.
Well, teens in 2005 who may be watching The OC.
There may be a moment where a couple of our characters might be watching an episode.
Right, right. And let's tell people a little more about this plot. Charlie Plummer plays Miles Halter, not that comfortable in his own skin, although an expert in famous people's last words. He's constantly quoting the very last words of everyone from JFK to
Millard Fillmore.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows them all. He knows all the major ones. I wanted him to memorize famous last words because I wanted him to have this pat and overly simplistic way of thinking about death at the beginning of the book and in the way that he thinks about the role that death plays in human lives. And then he has to grapple with the reality that death is full of ambiguity, it's full of failure, it's full of guilt. And these simple stories of last words, while they're very narratively compelling and fun, often just aren't the whole truth.
We want to hear a little of the new show, but how much of the book was autobiographical? You've talked about the fact that you did go to a boarding school and you did, you know, there were some pranks there that happened. Somebody did die, not somebody close to you. How much of Miles is you?
Well, there's definitely some of me in Miles, but also there's some of me in Alaska, the main female character in the book, in the sense that when I was in high school, I struggled a lot with self-destructive impulses and felt really profoundly separated and struggled with major depression and stuff like that. The setting of the book is drawn very closely from the setting of the amazing place where I went to high school. But the story is very much a novel.
Okay. Well, the school in the book is strictly divided between kids who board and the kids who are rather wealthy who go home on the weekends. Miles' friends include his roommate Chip, called the Colonel, Alaska, as you mentioned, kind of a wild child. And in their very first meeting altogether, Alaska and Chip are, you know, reuniting after the summer. Miles is seeing the whole thing for the first time. She is telling a story to Chip about something that happened to her. By grabbing Miles' hand and putting it on her breast, he, of course, freezes in disbelief. It's day one and he's touching a girl. Let's listen.
Who's this guy now laughing at my story?
My roommate.
Miles to Go Halter, a.k.a. Pudge. Pudge memorizes people's last words. He also has money for his cigarettes. Pudge, this is Alaska. She got her boob honked this summer, which you are now well aware.
So that's the story she was illustrating. Christine Froseth plays Alaska. Joe Schwartz, the colonel, this is again the roommate, played by Denny Love, an African-American, which he's not in the book.
We felt that making the colonel African-American would not fundamentally change the story, but potentially open it up. It kind of informs some of the tension between him and those weekday warriors. For them, it's about class. For the colonel, it's about race, or in the fact that in Alabama, sometimes it feels like those two things are the same. Mm. And most importantly, it gave us the chance to cast Denny Love, who is fantastic in the show and I think really announces himself. It's really the first big thing that he has done, and his passion for it comes through in every scene.
I want to listen to another scene. This is Miles, Pudge, and Alaska. They're hanging out at a spot where kids sneak away to smoke.
Have you read all the books in your room?
God, no. But I'm going to read them all. I call it my life's library. Every summer since I was little, I would go to all the garage sales and I'd buy all the books that looked interesting. Just so I would always have something to read. But there's so much to do, you know? I'll have more time for reading when I'm old and boring.
Hard to imagine you'd ever be boring.
John, I want to ask you first, then Josh. It's just so real. And John, you know you've got some sort of a pipeline to how young people talk. What is that for you? I mean, what is your affection for young people?
What always has interested me is the feelings. You know, when you're a teenager, you're really asking the big questions about meaning and about justice and about what we owe ourselves and each other for the first time separate from your parents or from your family. And because those questions are new, you're asking them with an enthusiasm and without any kind of ironic distance. And that's really appealing to me.
Yeah. Josh, you and Stephanie also obviously have your finger on the pulse of something, or maybe it's your own pulse. I mean, is part of being able to do this kind of thing and have it resonate so much with young people that you're not trying to listen to teenagers, you're just remembering yourself?
There's definitely a part of that. I mean, it's a time in my life, and I know Stephanie feels the same. It's just so vivid to us. And I think as much as technology changes or slang changes, the emotions, as John was saying, are universal and timeless. And I think that's what we're really interested in capturing. And also when you make something for a young audience, the things that you love when you're in high school, the movies that you love, the TV shows you love, the music that you listen to, you love those things in a way that you will never love anything else again, and in a way that you will never love anything else again. And so for us, it's also really rewarding to make things for an audience that is that passionate about what you're doing.
Do you think there will be a Looking for Alaska sequel?
No.
Okay. Well,
yeah, we were very, because that is the trend with these limited series. It's a limited series. And then you find out, but there's also season two. And we talked a lot, John and Stephanie and I, a lot about, we want to tell this story and we want to tell it the best that we can. And very definitively at the end, not spoiling anything, it says the end.
There you go. Well, so John Green, just one last thought, because look, we've been, you know, alluding to it, but there is a death that these characters grapple with. Do you ever worry when you bring up a topic that it will get romanticized? And you know, 13 Reasons Why, which was about suicide, there was a lot of concern and criticism that it might encourage kids, you know, to find fame that way. I mean, did you worry about this death making it to a screen?
I definitely worried about it. And I think Stephanie and Josh and everyone involved have worried about it a lot and have worked really hard to be very careful in how we talk about this and how it's portrayed in the show and also how it's portrayed in the book. I mean, this is a book, I hope, that is about the catastrophic failures that can ensue when people fail to treat other people as humans. And our responsibility to each other is to try to find ways to imagine each other complexly. And as part of that, you know, when we were talking about how to do the show responsibly, we talked a lot about making sure that this doesn't further that old lie that somehow harming yourself is a way to achieve your goals. You know, as someone who's lived for most of my adult life with serious mental illness, I feel like I can say with some authority that there is hope. Even when your brain tells you there isn't, there is hope. And I encourage people who need help to get it today.
Well, and I encourage adults also to pick up this book and watch this show. The show is Looking for Alaska, based on the book of the same name by John Green. And it's being brought to Hulu by Josh Schwartz and his producing partner, Stephanie Savage. John and Josh, thanks so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The soundtrack for Looking for Alaska is also getting raves. This song, An Honest Mistake by Mating Ritual, featuring Lizzie Ladd.